Okay, so we want to do something else in the next half an hour. And it might take longer, and that's going to be okay. So, Kirk, bro, bring those chairs. So, we've been really feeling another thing for this week and that we haven't talked about is we really feel like there's a God wants to rebring or rebirth or reemphasize or cheer us on in terms of our commitment to be a multi-generational movement. You know why when we're multi-generational, youth with the mission is doesn't actually really describe who we are by demographic. Describes who we are by passion, right? Does that make sense? But it doesn't describe who we are by demographic. And why we're in New Zealand this week, man, we have some legends in the room. And you guys have to listen to clowns like us talk, you know? Like we're just like, who the heck are you anyway? Exactly. That's what I ask myself every day. But we've been kind of going, how do we do it? But we felt last night there was that moment in worship where thankfully Pete Brownhill was in the room and fathered us through that moment and helped kind of add language to what God was doing in the room. You guys feel stuff happening but didn't quite know what was happening? But when Pete got up here and went, I feel this is happening in the room, you kind of went, yes! That's why you need mums and dads in the room. But I feel like today what we want to do is kind of stop. We're going to stop talking. We've invited some of our elders, I guess is the honourable term. I love calling them old people. Because in white culture, that's offensive. But Indigenous culture, that's not. That's actually a badge of honour. You know, we got to learn to honour our elders, you know. So what we've asked these guys, and we've kind of tapped a couple, most of them on the shoulder. Beryl, I'm going to include you in this, and we didn't talk to you. So just listen, Beryl, because this is so you'll understand. Basically, what we've asked is we've asked the Stitz, we've asked Ross Tooley, we've asked Barry Austin. Is Kay with you? She's welcome to join you as well. Okay. We've asked Brett Curtis because he's kind of old, but he's an elder. I've now just asked Beryl. And what we're going to do is we're just going to sit on the stage. And here's what we were asking them. We're going to say this again. What has God spoken to YWAM New Zealand through the generations? You know, YWAM New Zealand we're more than 40 years old now. First ETS was 1975, but YWAM existed before that in some shape or form in New Zealand. So does anyone know when YWAM New Zealand started? January 67. Because he was there. That's why we need guys like that in the room. So we then, 50 years next year. We have a multi-generational problem in YWAM New Zealand. We should have known that and we should have set up something to celebrate that. That's kind of a big deal. We may have a problem. Can I just say we may have a problem? If Ross Tooley wasn't in the room, would we have known that today? Okay, we need to smash that deal. So what we're going to do is we're going to have these guys, those of you that just start coming, Brett, come, Ross, come, Stitz, come. Please, Beryl, you come. We need to hear from you in this. Mark Parker. See, I knew there was someone else. Mark Parker. You can't just say his name is Mark Parker. You got to connect with the energy the man possesses. Mark Parker. So really what we want to do is kind of an unfiltered, non-controlled, I know Linda Cowie would be a part of this if she's in the room, but I think she's probably left the country now or they're about to leave. They're going somewhere, South America, to see her family. And so I'm going to put her apologies in on her behalf because I know she would love to be a part of this time. I'm so glad we got to hear from her on Monday, though. What a saintly, saintly woman. Just looking to make sure there's no one I've missed. Rosh and Cheryl. No? You sure? Oh, is that a Kiwi being Kiwi, though? Okay, we can get more chairs, though. All right. Should they be up here? Okay, they don't want to come anyway. All right. We might bring the mic to you guys, though, if we need to. Okay, so here's a question. What do you remember? What do you recollect? Something God's spoken. I know I talked to Brett, and he's like, bro, this is like my first YWAM New Zealand staff gathering. We got hijacked by a ship and they never let him come back. But you know, we just said, bro, you actually represent what we're believing for, that Kiwis would be activated and sent. So we're like, you have a word of the Lord for us. That is a word of the Lord to Waiwa, New Zealand. But you guys all represent that. Barry's like, well, I was kind of only here around the old days. Then I left. And exactly, you represent what we're believing for. Then we have people like Beryl that have been laboring and carrying, and the Stitz who are just so faithful doing it. And then we've got Mark Parker. Oh. So I need to talk to these guys for a moment. Watch this. This is how you try to be respectful as a kid. Now, mums and dads, we know you're all preachers. I know, bro. That's amazing, eh? But you've actually got, like, listen. Any good? So can we, snapshots, key moments. And we were in this room and God spoke. Maybe more globally. We were in this room and God spoke this about New Zealand. We want to hear all of that. What in this generation, those of us in the room, that weren't around in the 67, you know, 75, 82, does that make sense? So however long this takes, we've got two mics. Who wants to go first? This is so awkward to do with Kiwis. If this was Americans, they would have grabbed the mic off me already. Okay, yeah, we got to go.
In the beginning.
There's another microphone too.
In January 1967, Lauren spoke at a conference on Great Barrier Island and introduced Youth with a Mission to us. And I'd just been over in the Philippines with a New Zealand missionary, and so I was looking for the next thing to do. In those days, we had no DTSs. There were absolutely no DTSs anywhere in the world. I have never done a DTS, and in 2 months' time, I will have been in YWAM 50 years, can you believe it? What we did in those days is we took young people out from door to door for a week, actually 8 days. People like Barry Austin and Ray McNee and myself would teach and then take them out two by two from door to door for a week. But we also ran what we called mini crusades, which we did starting on a Friday night through to Sunday afternoon. And that's all we did. And we did that from Invercargill all the way to the North Shore. And then in the end of the year, we would take an outreach for about 6 weeks overseas to a place like Fiji or Indonesia or somewhere. And I tell you what, there are pastors and YWAM leaders and missionaries all over the place as a result of doing that, in a way that I don't actually see coming out of a DTS these days. Isn't that interesting? It's really interesting. And I think we just need to be inspired to do more evangelism, not necessarily door-to-door. I still do some of that, but I'm down on the street on Friday night, for example, in Queen Street, typically every Friday night. But I also promote the evangelism with your neighbors. Huh? And as you travel on airplanes, I'm amazed at the YWAMers who go for hours on a plane and never speak to the person beside them. Huh? And they're going on outreach. Huh? There, we do need to be baptized, re-baptized, I believe, into sharing the gospel. And I'll be doing that this afternoon in a heart-to-heart way. Right? If you do it with love in your heart, you can get away with all sorts of stuff.
Is that enough? So yeah, that's awesome. That's a good start. So you're saying evangelism's a strong word for us right from day one. Okay, everyone catch that, grab that, evangelism. Barry, carry on.
I was inspired by Ross. He came back from the Philippines and shared all that he'd been done and how he'd gone there with no money and prayed his way back and all that stuff. And I thought, man, if he can do it, I can do it. And I am, and particularly back then, I am Mr. Nobody. And what I learned, and I went with Ross to Tonga, 1967, and missions got into my blood. I didn't really have a vision much for evangelism. I was working with Teen Challenge, but I went out there, and I actually saw people saved on the streets. I prayed for people and actually got healed. And actually, I was working with Kalafi Mwala. He was my 18-year-old interpreter. He was skinny then. And we went to a school, a girl's school, 17-year-old Tongan girls, and we'd seen them come to the Lord, but there wasn't much of a church there to look after them. And we fasted and prayed for 3 days that they'd be filled with the Spirit. I gave a little teaching on being filled with the Spirit and then wondering what to do, and Kalafmi showed how to do it. You stand up and you say, "Receive the Holy Ghost." And the power of God just whooshed through that whole building, and 70 people were filled with the Spirit instantaneously, speaking in tongues, prophesying, and it went all night. It was holy chaos. Missions got into my blood then. And, okay, switch a bit later to 1975, first DDS. That was a great time, but the next year, my wife and I, we were called to England and started the first DTS there. And in the process, reflected on that first DTS. And I think what that first DTS was, a discipleship teaching school. And God started to teach me, how do you run a discipleship training school? God was saying to me, don't be hearers only, but doers of the word. And a training school goes further than teaching. And I think a lot of our schools are teaching schools of one form or another. And we're called to make disciples. So that's been a learning process ever since that time. How do you make disciples? I started to think, how did Jesus make disciples? Because he's the expert, obviously. And he taught thousands of people. He's the most incredible teacher that's ever walked this planet. And yet, he focused, when he wanted to make disciples, he focused on a small group of 12 people and poured his life into them, and especially into three, Peter, James, and John. And out of that has become a lifetime of how do you train leaders? And that culminates in what we're doing now, the leadership development course. You've heard about some leadership courses that are going here in Australia and so on. That this is the ultimate course.
Oh, yeah.
and it's going to be held in Matamata in February, March next year. There's a bunch of people here who've done some LDCs. Raise your hand. Yeah, there's a whole bunch of them. Look at them. They're the mighty spiritual giants that are here today because they did an LDC. So you need to come next year in February. And this afternoon we'll talk a little bit more. How do you make disciples? So, okay, someone else now.
I'd like to go next if that's all right. Because I'm not a speaker. I'm very much a background person and a support person. when we came into YWAM, we came in with as a married couple with 5 children. Our youngest was only 18 months when we did our DDS. And so when we were in YWAM just for a little while, and then we got caught up in the King's Kids ministry. We started King's Kids here. Yeah. And I think the thing that has always been very up there for me was, hearing God's voice and obeying. And that's very much what, as a King's Kids team, we encouraged the kids, and of course we did too, so it's hearing, listening to God and doing what he says. And when children hear God, it's a wonderful, it's really a wonderful, It's just an amazing experience because God speaks to kids and it is so fresh and it is so, they haven't got the limitations that we seem to have as we get older. And so, that is my experience with YWAM, I think, is learning to hear God and doing what he says.
Can I just add to that before we move away from King's Kids? Sorry, Brent. But, the whole thing of hearing God's voice and keeping right relationships with one another, kids just embrace that. They love the fact that they can go to their friend and say, hey, I'm sorry I did this. Hey, I forgive you. And they're buddies again. You see it in little kids, eh? It's just one minute they're scrapping and fighting, and the next minute they're all back together and playing, you know. And it's so easy for children to do that. And what a model they've been to us, and what a inspiration they've been to us and to many parents when they see them do that. But this King's Kids has been a real, I guess, a picture of multi-generational ministry. And, you know, we've been talking about that, and we went back to the Great Commission of Abraham yesterday with Cheryl. And the Great Commission, or the commission to Abraham, the covenant with Abraham involved the family. If Abraham didn't have a family, it wouldn't have gone far. It was family. It's based in family. God's first command in the book of Genesis was to family. Go forth, multiply, and subdue the earth. It wasn't just to Adam. It was to the family. And God is commanding us to work as families. He desires us to work as families. And too often, the family is ripped apart by ministry. And that's not his intention at all. And so that's been a real key for us, the picture of the arrow in Psalm 127, where the tip of the arrow we've seen often as being the children. The feathers at the end, you know, feathers fall out of old chooks, like the hair falls out of old people. The feathers at the end of the old people, you know, the elderly, and then the shaft of the young people, the ones in the middle. And without any part of that arrow, it's pretty useless. And there's got to be a coming together and got to be a working together to really make that arrow do what it's designed to do. So multi-generational, so important. Brett.
2 weeks ago, I had 3 hours with Joy Dawson. We took her out to Coco's restaurant, and she just loved on us. She's 90. She's written 8 books. And the thing that struck me with that conversation, she said, back in World War II, and hang on, back in World War II, they had a slogan that said, press on regardless. And she said, that is not a godly slogan. You must stop, and you must ask, and you must inquire about why things happen. Because you're involved in a battle that is morphing because of the free will of man, and you must stop and you must ask God, now what? You don't go on just old words only. You mix that with the new. Isn't that cool? And so the thought I had as you guys were talking, and it's an honor to be up here, is in Greece when the Anastasis had the fish miracle, that was spectacular, and it was a trumpet. It was very instructional for YWAM moving forward. And when they stopped and they said, Lord, why did you do the fish miracle? Well, I think it's very clear, and we've tried to trumpet this to all of our DTSs that we can ever get a chance to speak in. Not only am I going to make you fishers of men and I'll be Jehovah Jireh, but thank you for keeping those three things going with or without the ship, the training, mercy ministries, and evangelism. When they are coexisting, that's my perfect will for you. And so when you swung around the anchor for 3 years and the ship didn't go, you kept on doing all three of those. And I thought, that's really intriguing, because they were at a point where they were out of money, they were out of people, they were out of everything. And so they did 40 days of prayer and fasting, and out of that came the fish miracle and this understanding. And I think we must never forget that lesson, because it was a very... that optic of that lesson was very, very important for us. Yeah.
When Marty asked a few minutes ago to talk about some highlights, that's very difficult to talk 30 years in about a minute. Yeah, but so I've got the mic anyway, but I suppose don't turn it off.
With Christ, all things are possible. Mics
can be turned in the beginning, I know, but they're with me. They're with me. In the beginning, there was chaos, and my life was chaos up to the age of 19. And in the 70s, the Holy Spirit was hovering, and there was power. So I remember power encounters with God and the charismatic movement. And so I came into YWAM through this charismatic community movement of the power of God. And then in Genesis 3, God spoke. The word gives form to the power and things are fleshed out. So on my DDS, I met the Word, Jesus, and I think probably the greatest significant thing back then was hearing God's voice, you know, the old Joy Dawson guidelines, just hearing God's voice, faith to believe. I remember going to a meeting in 1991 over in Budapest for the University of the Nations, and that's how, when I went to this international meeting, I actually realized this is YWAM. It's international, and it was all post, just post communism, so they were talking about going into the different areas of Albania and the spheres and education. So there was starting to talk about kingdom. I'd read a bit of Tom Marshall stuff, so kingdom of God. You know, the earth's not just going to, we've got to look after this earth. The kingdom was a real teaching. And then I joined training. I like training and discipling, growing people up. And so in the 80s, when I did my DDS in 87, it was a wild time. We were sort of wild. We had long hair back in the day, like some of you are trying to do now with your little buns. But long hair and beards. And there was power and the Word of God was strong. Those two have been strong in my life. Holy Spirit, but needing the Word. And in the 80s, there was a lot of like deliverance, the occult, there was drugs. It was just messy. 80s, more than 90s, 80s and 90s, when in schools we had chairs flying and walls being cracked and stuff like that. And so we had a lot of the prodigals returning home on our DDSs. So there's a lot of messiness, need for counselling and stuff. The year 2000, we had the Hui up in Auckland, and there was the words from when Frank was being inaugurated, Frank Nyer, this area of we're crossing the Jordan. I don't know if we did or not, there was sort of discussion about that. But we were crossing the Jordan. We hadn't gone this way before. And I remember in the year 2000s, it wasn't so much prodigals in our DDSs, but I found we had a lot of the older brothers and sisters, the ones who were from Christian homes, knew it all, had it all, were a little tougher to disciple because they weren't as thirsty, as hungry, and really having to bring a hunger and a thirst for truth. I remember I'd read a lot in those days until the Holy Spirit yelled at me one time, through Paul Richards, I think it was, you know, stop reading other people's interpretation of the Word, start reading the Word. And God began to really, the Word was very, very key. So the kingdom teaching, then we had sort of Jeremiah 29 with Te Amarama Mangere up there was about, you know, build houses, settle down, marry, have children, seek the welfare of the city, as it goes well, it'll go well for you. Those sort of words were very strong. Haggai 1 and 2, you know, don't look after your own house. Start to build a house for the Lord and the house of the glory that the former house won't be as great as the house that God really wanted to, the glory of the Lord to fill what we were doing in over these last few decades. I think just, you know, my desire is, as Shirley was talking about last night, probably the word of the Lord that's been over my life is just to walk in holiness, in purity, fear the Lord. I probably, when there was the call last night, I think to, I felt like actually jumping up on stage with Hans, but I sort of contained myself. but I just felt a little bit, well, I'm getting older and just, you know, relax. But the word a few years ago, I would always talk about the problem with our generation today, it's unbelief, root of unbelief, until the Holy Spirit said it's not unbelief, the root is independence. And out of independence, a lack of identity, and I find a lot of fear of man and a lot of passivity. And even last night, I just thought, man, we should be jumping and screaming here, because I'm talking about in New Zealand. I know, just relax. Well, you're given the opportunity this morning, so. But passivity, I hate it because I believe this generation has got so much strength. When I hear some 18-year-olds sharing something, I go, man, where'd they get that stuff from? Where'd they get wisdom from? It's incredible. It's not universal, but there are some incredible young people God is raising up to be real heralds, real ones who'll cry out of the wilderness to such an aching, really scattered people. So unbelief, get rid of that. Get rid of independence and passivity. Kill that thing.
Amen. Good job. That's awesome. Right here, please.
Okay. Well, I was a bit of a late starter because I didn't get saved till I was 30, and we went into YWAM in our 40s, well, I was, and my husband and I, Bill, and I was always building houses. We had six children, and I grew up very poor, so my aim was to get the best house, the dream home, you know, and I'd buy a house and do it up and sell it, and I was at the stage where we could have the best house, the dream home, and I was reading the word. I was a youth worker for Baptist Church, loved youth work. I'm reading this word, and it says, "You live in your panelled houses while my house is in ruins." And it went, oh. And I knew I had to lay that stuff down. It was meaningless after that. And shortly after that, the Lord called us to do a DTS, and we thought we'll go to family ministries at Orama, and we'll learn what Christian families should be like, because we both came from non-Christian homes. And so I cried my way through that constantly, every single day. There's a waterfall there, and I wept every day at the waterfall as the Lord was just going that and that. And then they asked us to staff, and we said, no thanks. It's difficult working out our stuff without other people's, other married couples. But the Lord kept his hand on us, and before we knew what happened, we were back there and staffing the school, leading a school, and finally directing the school. And so we started at Great Barrier, and the Lord spoke so much during that time, so much teaching, and so much he just opened everything to us. And so we've been all over the place. We went from there to Māngere, to Te Ao Marama, and so my from there to, oh goodness, Matamata for 10 years, and finally the Lord said, go north, and here we are up in Mangatarota. We call it Zion now. We all prayed about it because the Lord says, my resting place is in Zion, and the word of the Lord shall go forth from Zion. So there's been a lot of teaching, but my great highlights, there's so many highlights you can't even start to think about it, but one of the biggest things, and I have to share this because this is what's on my heart, I want to see young people. I have a little motto: trained up, cleaned out, sent out. We can't send out broken people to heal broken people, and I want to see them healed. So that's my passion. And in the year, it was about 2000, I was in Melbourne at a conference, and the Lord just began to speak to me during worship. He always speaks in worship, and this beautiful prophetic worship, and I saw a vision of New Zealand with a giant walker, and some of you have heard me talk about this, and a giant walker coming from the north, and usually there's a warrior at the back calling the beat, but it was Jesus standing at the back calling the beat. And behind the walker were hundreds and hundreds of thousands of New Zealanders, brown and white, following the walker. And I said, what is this, Lord? And he said, I'm sending my spirit to New Zealand, first to the Maori and then to the Pākehā. Unity, unity, unity. And that was just so, you know, you just wonder what on earth. Something's coming. Something big is coming. And it's been my passion for many, many years to see revival in this nation. And we send teams to China to work with the underground church. We send them to India and the Philippines and the Pacific, because I'm part Rotuman. My dad was Rotuman. So I have a heart for the Pacific. But New Zealand, you know, I just feel God said, and he showed me, there was the first one, the waka, and the next picture straight after was of the fire coming down New Zealand, the uttermost ends of the earth, going up the Pacific to Australia, up the coast of the States, right round the world. And he's showing us, it's started already, and as I shared briefly the other day, 230 young Maori guys giving their hearts to the Lord about a month ago at a meeting in Kerikeri. They bussed them in from Kaikohe, Kaitaia, Dargaville. It was just wonderful, and all our team went up and ministered to them. And I'm meant to be at the Hokianga at the moment at this big hui, because there's more revival broken out there. So the Lord is doing a new thing, and that's probably all that, you know, I'm teaching on YWAM bases on spiritual warfare. This is my, I love to do spiritual warfare. And but I just see a new generation. The Lord's been saying, I'm raising up a generation of end-time warriors, and that's you guys. And I see it all the time, these warriors coming up on fire for God, and they're just, they're beautiful. And I love working with them. I'm getting old. I'm 71. But I love working with these on-fire young people. And I'll keep going until the Lord says stop, but there's some wonderful, wonderful things happening, and you've come at an amazing time to this nation. So bless you all. Yeah.
You got anything else? Well, I just wanted to say that the thing that's defined YWAM over the years is hearing the voice of the Lord. Yeah, good. And I just want to give a little encouragement to hear that if we're spending 2 hours a day on Facebook and trivia stuff, that's not a good step to hear the voice of the Lord. The more we spend time in His Word and in His presence and in worship, and that's quite a challenge, isn't it, to spend unhurried time in worship, unhurried time in prayer, and unhurried time in the Word. But that's been our forte in YWAM. And as we have heard God, that's why while things have opened up for us. Those years that I was in the Philippines, some of you have perhaps read about this, about how God just spoke to me in the days when there weren't things like videos and DVDs to start showing films in theaters in the Philippines. And we had standing room only, packed out, hundreds of thousands of Filipinos in those theaters watching those Christian movies, and millions over TV. And it didn't cost us anything to put those films on TV, but it was just obeying God and hearing from Him.
Just we've been hearing this week about you know the University of the Nations and stuff, and as I was reflecting on our journey with YWAM, and around the year 2000, when we were in Māngere, the big focus was there. We were obtaining buildings and land and stuff, and there was a great vision for the U of N to be set up, a campus set up in Māngere, and you look there now and you think, well, what happened? But, you know, I think I've come to appreciate over my 32 years in YWAM that we do hear God. He's definitely speaking, but often we our expectations of how that's going to happen is a little off. And it's not that we haven't heard Him. It's just that we've got to carry it and wait for the time. And I'm encouraged by what I'm hearing about the U of N here today. Because we didn't hear wrong. Our expectations were wrong. And I don't think what happened in Te Maramo was a disaster. I think it's probably closer to what God had planned then. But we are hearing the U of N. It's back again and it's looking different. But, you know, I think we have to be patient when we hear the word of the Lord. Sure, we have to move toward it, but let's not run ahead and finish the sentence for Him, as we heard. You know, we have to be patient. So there's been many other things. I remember God speaking to us about doing scholarships in our schools back in 2009, you know. We heard it this morning, and I know these guys have been doing it probably more than anyone else. But, you know, God speaks, and sometimes you think it's going to happen tomorrow, but in reality, it takes time. God's got a different perspective on time, hasn't He? Thanks.
Okay, so there's a whole lot in this. A couple of things I'm hearing. Evangelism was front row center in YWAM New Zealand's story, right? Hearing God's voice really clearly. Hearing God's voice. Can we not become so good at what we do that we stop hearing God's voice? I feel some parts of YWAM, we've matured, we've moved on. We're better than that. We know what to do now. We don't need the principles of intercession. We don't teach those anymore. We're too mature. I think we're too arrogant when we become like that. Because that's what I'm hearing. You talk to any senior YWAM leader, it's always hearing God's voice. God spoke, we'd said yes. But I love this, you know, King's Kid pioneering. You pioneered at Oak Ridge, didn't you? You were the first leader at Oak Ridge. So Zion, that was Oak Ridge, pioneer. You pioneered all kinds of stuff. You've pioneered all kinds of stuff. You pioneered the first ETS in New Zealand and in England. Pioneered all kinds of stuff, Beryl. I love it. Man, what a blessing to hear from these guys. I have one more question for you guys. And I know we could keep going for ages, and we're going to keep going for a little bit longer. One question for you guys. Because I think you guys represent a generation that we need to know and understand. But I think we could have 500 more on the stage with you. I mean, I'm thinking of like names I've heard of, Bernie Ogilvy. I'm thinking of Larry Baldock, you know, who is actually going to come to a workshop this afternoon. I'm thinking of so many others like that. Can you guys just quickly, from your collective memories, what are other names of Kiwis that we should know, pioneers that we should be honouring today? 50 years in January. By the way, we need to do something. We need to do something to celebrate it. Can I just speak this out that January we should gather in Auckland, do a one-night deal, hangi, celebrate something just to celebrate God. 50 years. We can't miss that. That's ridiculous that no one's done anything about that. And we all need to carry the shame of that and go, that was my fault. Someone should have said it's 50 years, we should be celebrating this. Does that make sense? So we can't poke the finger at anybody. We all collectively own that and go, we missed that.
You could say the first week of February was the first 1 week door-to-door that Lauren led in Ponsonby. So you could say that kicked it off. But January was the time that he was speaking at the Great Barrier. Were you there?
No, I was at a conference in Tarong and I heard God speak to me about going.
That's right, and you went.
Okay.
Yeah, I heard you share that.
It was interesting. I used to go to that conference at Great Barrier just after Christmas. But God said, don't go just after Christmas. Go to the second conference in January. That's when Lauren turned up. Lauren spoke in the second conference.
Was that the second time he went to Great Barrier? Didn't he go in 64 as well, wasn't it?
Yeah, the conferences did start around 64. But it was 66, 67. Actually, Lauren's sister, what's her name? Janice. She would have been in that first conference starting on Boxing Day.
Okay, I'm provoked by this. We're going to do something. I think it should be in Auckland. Yeah. Easy for those that live down the road. Ponsonby's not so easy. Okay, so anyway, we'll figure that out. Auckland's going to run it. Thank you, Auckland. And we'll all come. Okay, can you guys just quickly fire out, you know, I'm thinking of Dave and Sue Cole, pioneered all kinds of works in New Zealand. You know, had the sun sitting right
here.
Well,
Winky Prattney spoke on that first outreach with Lauren and all of us.
Someone else.
But Kel Steiner is another one from Tauranga.
Who's that?
Kel Steiner.
Yeah, of course. Tell us what they did. Yeah, tell us what they pioneered. Oh, well, there's probably a long list.
Yeah. Well, he was a student at Faith Bible College, and I was invited by Des to speak, and so he joined this team that my wife and I led around Asia for a year, he and Mike Schilling. And, of course, that's where he got his start, and he's been all over the place. And at the moment, he started a base in South Carolina with his American wife.
In our era, it was Hank and Hilda Overeem and Vicky and Sio Leo, who are leading the SOE in Auckland.
And out of the SOE had come amazing people like Roz Jackson and Judy Hayden and Elaine, who've been in Southeast Asia working and slaving their butts off since the late 1970s and are still there as single women. And they are amazing. Just, they are legends, yeah. Roz is in Vietnam and so is Elaine and Judy is in Myanmar.
I remember Stuart Caldwell. He's another one way back. Simon and Bob Dyer, who led the Anastasis for 2 decades, live up in Auckland, now retired. Let's not forget the Dawson family. It'd be great. And you might be able to get Joy in on video.
It was Bernie Ogilvy and me, together, we actually planned that first DTS. Wow. Yeah.
Think of Jeff Fountain.
I didn't go back that far.
Wynn Fountain.
Frank Nair, absolutely. Frank and Sonia. Just so much in those days, definitely. And Ross, you taught me on my DTS. You taught me on my DTS.
Do you know, there's a couple of girls still in Thailand. They went to Fiji way back in the 1960s and they're still in Thailand after all these years. Lorraine Dirk from Christchurch and then Val Baitup from Lower Hutt. And they're still in Thailand to this day. So there's quite a few unsung heroes and heroines all around the globe. I was thinking when Peter was speaking yesterday about, you know, where do New Zealanders go? We go everywhere.
Judy Hayden. She's still going. She was She went out long, long, long time ago, and she's pioneered in Thailand and in Myanmar.
The Apple Gates, yeah.
Ken Wright was a major guy in stirring us along in the miraculous.
If you ever get Ken Wright's book, an opportunity to read that. Have you read it? Come Dance With Me, written by his wife. Fascinating, absolutely fascinating.
He's from Palmerston, right? Any other names?
Not a Kiwi, but Dean Sherman had a major impact in the early days of YWAM here.
Faye Williams?
I think we could carry on and on. Are you guys feeling like I just feel a deep sense of honor and thankfulness for who these guys represent and the names they're sharing. Anyone else feeling that? I mean, I can think of Dave Cowie's another one we've got to throw in there. You know, he was that first few waves of YWAM, pioneered YWAM Thailand, pioneered this. He's just an old pioneer, just pioneers, pioneers, pioneers. The halls, yep, been at it. Yeah, I think of today, you know, YWAM China, the convener for YWAM in China today is Troy Gentles from Auckland. You know, like there's just Kiwis, the guy leading YWAM Paris, young fella from Hamilton, Jono. I mean, Kiwis you meet them at these gatherings. I remember the first time I met Brett, I was at a YWAM North America gathering, he slid up beside me, "I like your accent." I went, "Well, I like your accent."
Who was the guy that started Family Ministries?
Keith Warrington. We commissioned someone.
His daughter and son-in-law went over there as well.
A tall, thin guy who started Family Ministries. We honor him.
You know, Brother Andrew has to say, God said to go into all the world. He didn't say anything about coming back. Right? And Keith Warrington and his wife, what's her name? Marion. All right. They're both YWAMers from New Zealand. They've gone to Germany, raised their family there. They all speak fluent Dutch. I mean, no, German, Deutsch. Deutsch. Yep. And Keith was here just last year, and he sort of said goodbye to New Zealand. He's gone back to Germany. He's going to die there, you know. The family's there, all fluent in German. I can't remember your name.
My wife's cousin. His cousin. My wife's cousin. But Don Kirkby.
Don Kirkby. We got him. Tall, skinny guy. Annette Kirkby was.
Gary Winger.
Gary Winger. Oh, yeah. The wingers. Oh, Greg, should you be on the stage?
I honor these guys.
Yes, please. Yeah. You'll be on the stage soon.
So I think someone needs to write a book about this whole story. Wouldn't that be awesome? This is so fun.
This is just, are you guys, is this enjoyable? I feel like we're just sitting in a lounge room hearing from, you know, we just need a bit of eggnog or something. Kick back, a little fire.
Jeff Fountain, still having a major impact in Europe.
Sweden, there's...
Steve Sullivan.
And you all be here late January.
Kevin Norris.
When you guys organize. Norris. If there was a Norris in the room, would they speak up? You know, like. The Kranzlins, absolutely. Donaldson's. The Donaldson's, yeah. He wanted to be here this week and other things. What's that? Yourself.
We can't come.
The Parkers. Robbie and Julia. That's awesome.
Marty Emmett.
I'm the nameless and faceless. No one even knows who that guy is. The Garretts, absolutely.
David Cole,
massive.
We know him.
Dave Cole. So, I mean, I can think of others, even like, I can think of a guy like Steve Ahern, who's been in Aussie, who did his DTS here. You know, then we could go to a whole other level of New Zealand's influence in the nations. He came to DTS in Auckland. Dave Stevenson. Exactly. Now you, it's Dave now.
Even, I think Faith Dutton is Kiwi. Yeah.
Okay, we're going to pause. We can't.
Man, amazing. And then even beyond YWAM, I was just thinking about people like, is it Brian Houston who started Hillsong, the whole Hillsong movement. Incredible.
Phil Pringle.
Yeah.
Oh. Childers. All right, can we just all stand up? Can we just thank God for our ancestry, our tipuna, our people that have gone before us? So we could just carry on and on and on. And we just need to commission someone in the room that feels the anointing to catalog, grab, write, chronically. That would be really powerful. Okay, yeah. can we just thank?
Yeah, I just wanted to, you know, I just...
help us.
We're all in this room because people like this, is a representation.
Yeah.
All these names. We're in this room because of the faithfulness and the simple obedience of these folk that we've been talking about. Isn't that amazing?
It's incredible.
And there's an old proverb that says, you know, that communities or societies grow great when old men plant trees whose shade they'll never see. And, you know, our mission is just full of people like that, that have just faithfully sown the seed and heard God's voice, stepped out in simple obedience, and we're in this room because of it. And we're, you know, I love, it'd never be a YWAM conference in New Zealand without talking about the All Blacks. But the All Blacks have this motto that says, leave the jersey in a better place. And so their understanding is that when you put the jersey on to play for the team, that you're gonna leave it all out on the field. That when you're finished, however long, whether it's one game or 147, is that Richie McCaw? 48. 148. Let's not miss that one more game. So whether it's one game or 148 games that you play for the All Blacks, you're playing every moment of every game to leave the jersey in a better place, in your position. And so I just want to thank you for your faithfulness. And let's not be passive in this. Let's just however you want to express it right now, just for a few moments, let's just honor these guys and just honor not just the person, but let's honor the Lord and the way that he's led Youth of the Mission. Can we just do that? Just however you feel, just right now, just before the Lord, just all together. Let's just go, just as you feel led. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, for your faithfulness, Lord. Thank you, God, for weaving the story, Lord. Thank you for these ones on the stage, Lord. We honor them today. We honor them for their faithfulness to you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, for 50 years in New Zealand, God. Thank you for the stories and the pioneering efforts into the nations, God. Lord, we bless every person whose name's been named out, God. We say, may the Lord shine his face upon you. Even today, God, would you bless them and fill them, God. Thank you, Jesus.
I just also want to, you know, sometimes it's we honor the people up the front, the ones who've gone before. But when I said to the Lord, what would you like to honor? He'd like to honor you guys because I like to honor who's in the room. Sometimes it's always up the front, but I want to honor all of you. You young people, you're amazing. You're miracles. In a season like today, to see young people committing to come and serve the Lord, there's a lot of pressures against this. So Lord just wants to honor you guys.
Father, we just thank you for this generation coming. Coming against the tide of individualism and consumerism and having that house and having their job and getting their married, all of those things that Pete was sharing about, those subordinate sort of things. God, I just thank you for these ones. Lord, that they'd come and come to a missions conference because they love you. Would you just bless them? We honor them, that they're getting their own stories. And I just pray, just, yeah, bless them, encourage them, fulfill their dreams and desires. Maybe they don't see it right now, but what you begin, you're faithful to bring to completion. So God, we bless everybody in this room, to the oldest, to the little babies that have just been born. We bless and honor those in our mission who are just walking through and gleaning as we go, learning from what has been. But oh man, I just pray these guys get an awesome story in this season. Amen.
Ross, could you just... you were here from the beginning. Could you just pray and even just prophesy over us into the future?
Lord, with all my heart, I just thank you that you put it on Lauren's heart to start Youth with a Mission and to come to New Zealand almost 50 years ago. And Lord, we are amazed at what you have done through his life. And we thank you, Lord, that we have been able, in part, to follow his footsteps. And we pray for this emerging generation as they follow the footsteps of those who have gone before. Lord, that you would implant faith. Yes, Lord. Implant faith, Lord. Give them that ability to crisply hear your voice, so that they would launch forth in faith because they have heard from you and do remarkable and amazing things. In the name of Jesus, I would say, let amazing things happen through everybody here as they continue to pray, as they continue to read your word, as they continue to meditate, Lord, as they continue to worship. Lord, speak to them and give them that faith that when you have spoken, you can do it. You will do it if they are faithful. And I prophesy that now in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. 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 If you got a word from the Lord, launch out. Huh? Just like Peter, he had a word from Jesus to get out of the boat, right? And he started walking on the water. But you got to keep your eyes on Jesus, because remember, he looked at the waves and began to sink. Right? So many YWAMers have got the word of the Lord and started, but then have not continued. Let's all continue through to the end. Amen?
Amen. Awesome. Thank you, Ross. So whether you're here for 3 months, 6 months, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, let's agree. We're going to leave the jersey in a better place. We've heard a little bit of the story, but we're going to steward this well and take it even further on into the future. Amen?
Amen.
Thank you, guys. Let's have a break. We're going to carry on after the break. And I really feel like some of us in this room, God's going to speak to us and mark us this morning to do with the course of our lives. And, you know, God is doing a deep work already. He wants to go deeper. So let's have a quick break. Let's come back at 11:20. So at about 11:15, I'm going to start calling people in. And we'll carry on from there. So 11:20, come back.